Okay. Morning, everyone. Today's daf in Nida is daf Chafei. We're in the third parak of Masecht Nida. The third parak is dedicated to the topic of Leida, of a woman giving birth. So if you remember back to the first mishnah of the parak, Amapas Chaticha, we talked about it. For the first thing we discussed is a woman giving birth to something which is totally unidentifiable. It's a Chaticha. It's a piece of tissue. It's really a nothing. So there's a debate about that. The Mishnah went on to discuss Kamin Klipa, Kamin Sa'ora, Kamin Afar, Kamin Yavchushin, Adomim. Then we're talking about discharging small particles. Not exactly sure what they are, but they're something small. Hamapelos, Kamin Dagim, Chagav, Mishkatzim, Veramasim. The Mishnah then went on to discuss her discharging things that are lifelike creatures, but not human life. Right? The Mishnah talked about bugs and Shkatzim, Veramasim, fish. Then the Mishnah moved on, and the Mishnah talked about more developed life matter coming out of her, things that start to look like an animal, things that start to look like a bird. So there was a machlokshin in Rav Meir and the Chachamim, whether that's considered a vlad or it's not considered a vlad. And finally, the Mishnah concluded, Shitas Chachamim is kol she'ein bo mitzuras ha'adam, ain no vlad. It needs suras ha'adam. In other words, in order for something to be considered a birth, it has to have a human form. And we discussed for the past number of blot, that was the Mishnah all the way back on Chaf Aleph. And for the last four blot of Gemara, Chaf Beis, Chaf Gimel, and yesterday's Daf Chaf Dalid, so we discussed various permutations of what is human in form, what is non-human in form. Yesterday, in my absence, we discussed a couple of extraordinarily bizarre forms of life. We're continuing with the Mishnah on Chaf Dalid Amud Beis. Amapel Shpir Malay Mayim. So now we're going to talk about where there's an amniotic sac. Okay, so we see a sac, but there's nothing in the sac per se. It's filled. So what is it filled with? So the Mishnah deals with a number of scenarios. Amapel Shpir Malay Mayim Malay Dam Malay Ginunim. It's filled either with water, with blood, or Ginunim. Ginunim means many colors, right? If you take a look at Rashi, Rashi just simply says Gavanim. So it's filled with liquid substance, water, blood, or just multicolored liquid. Eino chosheshes levlad. So the Mishnah says that, yes, it's true that there is a sac, and usually an amniotic sac is a good indication that there was an infant inside, but we don't see the infant, and really there's not enough evidence towards an infant, so therefore the Mishnah says eino chosheshes. You really don't have to worry whatsoever. However, what if there was at the beginning of a formed fetus inside the sac? Teshev l'zachron nekeva. At that point in time now, she has to be teshev, she has to sit for zachron nekeva. Now, before we go on in the Mishnah, just a moment over here. Meaning we talked about this before, and I mentioned this from the beginning of the parak. We remember that when a woman gives birth to a boy, so she's tamei for 7 days, 33 days. 7 days of dam tamei, followed by 33 days of dam tahor. That's a 40-day total process. During the days of yimei tuma, she can't be with her husband. During the 33 days of yimei tahor, she can be with her husband. But her tuma does not finally conclude until after 40 days. On the 41st day, she goes to the base of the mikdash, and she brings a karban for the birth of her child, and then she is now finally Tahara Gemura. Okay, that concludes her Tahara. And if she gives birth for a girl, so it's 14 days and 66 days. Now, the Mishnah talks about a scenario where she gave birth. Rahman al-Islam, God forbid, it was an aborted fetus. But nevertheless, so it's a fetus. Why? Because we can actually see the beginnings of a formed fetus, a formed embryo inside of the amniotic sac. It's not formed enough where we know the gender. Unfortunately, we do not know the gender. So what does she have to do then? So the Mishnah says, Zachar Unakeva, she's got to do both. Now, if you take a look at Rashi, you know what? Well, let's wait just one more moment before we get to Rashi. Okay, waiting for both means 14 days of Tumah, because it may be a girl, and then how many days of Tahara? Well, we're going to go on the Chumr side. So I would say 33 days of Tahara, because it may be a boy. But even when we say 33 days, it's not really 33 days. It's actually less, because you already took a week away in order to account for the fact that it may be a girl. So it's not really 33. 33 minus 7, 26. So it's 26 days of Tahara. Okay? In other words, so that's all she would be able to enjoy in terms of her establishing a Tumas Dam Tame versus Dam Tohar of her Leida.
Even the Chumah would be like a girl, no? 14 and 66. 66.
Yeah, but the 66 days are Yemekula. Because during those 66 days, she can be with her husband. Right? So it presents a kula. Right. In terms of... right.
Is that the Rabbana or the
Raisa? It's a suffix. Meaning because it's a suffix and because we don't know, so we're going to play both sides of the chumra. Now, if she gives birth to a sandal. Now, what is a sandal? So a sandal, right, in English, a sandal is a sandal. But in other words, it does not mean that a sandal came out of her. It means that it was a crushed fetus. Now, what crushed this fetus? So, unfortunately, the other baby. Meaning, when you see sandal, what you're immediately going to conclude is that there were two babies that were being born. The Mishnah here doesn't speak of the other baby. The other baby was a viable baby. But this baby, unfortunately, was crushed by its sibling, by its twin sibling inside. And this is what's called a sandal. Now, the sandal comes out, Teshel Azachal Nekeva. Now, here Rashi writes, you have to remember, there was obviously another baby. So, we already know that there was a Leida due to the fact that there was the birth of another baby. So, and I don't mean this... I don't mean this with any type of irreverence or disrespect, but why do we care about the birth of the sandal if she already had another baby together with the sandal? So Rashi addresses that very issue. If you take a look at Rashi inside, Rashi writes, "Ein sandal b'lo vlad, acher, no such thing as a sandal without another baby." Uvishvil sandal teishol zachar nekeva, the suffix zachar, suffix nekeva hu. But here's where it becomes halachically critical. Because this sandal that comes out, we know was a baby. Right? You could see even in its pressed state that it was, in fact, a baby. You just simply don't know gender. Now, interesting, Rashi writes that if the other baby was a girl, this sandal that comes out won't affect any which way whatsoever. Because with the birth of a girl, and remember, the girl that came out was a definitive girl. We know for sure. So with the birth of a girl, she, the mother, is going to enjoy, I don't really mean the word enjoy, but she will have 14 days of Tumah and 66 days of Tahara. Okay, and nothing else that happens will take away her 66 days of Tahara. So in other words, she's 1466. So Rashi says, so whatever the sandal then is, it doesn't matter. Even if that other baby, the sandal baby, was in fact a male, definitive male, so what? She knows she had a girl. The girl was a definitive girl, so that's 1466. When is the sandal going to have a halachic concern for us, a halachic consideration? That's if the other baby that was born, the definitive baby, was a boy. Which only gives, now mom, 733. So there now that she gave birth to the sandal, and the sandal, we don't know what it was, but it possibly could have been a girl. So now what we're going to tell mom is the following. Look, you for sure had a boy, that we know. You also had a sandal, which means that there was another baby. We don't know the gender of that other baby. It could have been a girl. So here's what you have to do. You have to sit 14 days Yemei Tumah, because that sandal may have been a girl. Are you then going to get 66 days of Yemei Tahara? Absolutely not. Because we don't know if the sandal was a girl. It may have been a girl. Sandal could have also been a boy, which means then that you're only going to get 33 days of Tumah. Thank you. 33 days of Tahara. So now, you're only going to be able to have now 14 days of Tumah and 33 days of Tahara, but again, I don't really mean 33, because she sat another 7 days for Tumah that cuts into her 33, so it's 33 minus 7, so it's going to be 26. Adka.
How because
yes.
Which means there's no possibility for her to be a needle doing those.
Correct. Things. Correct. Correct. That's not Torah.
What's the difference between a boy and a girl? I don't understand that.
Because for a boy, the Torah gives her 33 days of those to you made Torah.
There's a possibility to bleed.
It doesn't matter. In other words, any bleeding that occurs during those 33 days are just simply Dam Torah. It's Dam Torah. Of course, it's hard to understand. Xeris HaKasav. Bishlama damo mayim lo klumhi. So the Gemara now starts off with the following. Look, The woman gave birth to an amniotic sac, but there was nothing in the sac other than just some liquid. So if what was contained in the liquid was blood or water, so then I understand. That's nothing. So, but if it's multicolored, so you see now various shades of colors of liquid. It could have been a baby. It's out of the realm of possibility. Meaning, look, we're not saying that what this is definitely a baby, but it's at least possible. At least it's within the realm of possibility. Okay, so if it's filled just with water, okay, fine. And if it's filled just with blood, again. But if it's filled with various colors, it at least could be a baby. So Amar Abaye, the Gemara is going to give multiple answers to this question, three answers in total. So Amar Abaye, Kama Yain Chai Shasti Imo Shel Zeh, Shinimuch Ubra Besoch Me'aha. So we start off with Abaye, and Abaye says, no, come on. Abaye answers the question with a little bit of sarcasm. How much wine does she need to drink in order for that embryo, for that baby to have dissolved? Meaning, it's not going to happen, says Abaye, where the amniotic sac is just filled with liquid, and that liquid at one point in time was a baby. Rav Amar Maleitanan, Rimisa de Atmuche, Itmach Mechasa Chasar. Now, Rava says, again, similar idea, but slightly different natural approach to the Mishnah. It's filled with liquid. If it was a baby, and the baby dissolved, so that means that there would have been room in the sack for something else. It wouldn't have been totally filled with liquid. The fact that it's totally filled with liquid is a good indication that this was not a baby. And Rav Adar Rav Amar Gavan Tanan V'Yemisa Dit Muchid Mechulek B'Chai Gavna Avakai. And Rav Adar Rav gives the third answer, which is, look, if it's more than one color, had it been a baby that dissolved and liquefied, so then it would have been one consistent color. The fact that it's multicolored is an indication that this was definitely not a baby.
I would think the other way around.
No. Okay. Sure. I don't know enough. I don't know enough to really comment one way or another. Tanya Abishal Omer Kover Mesa Mayisi. The Gemara now is going to tell us a number of stories. It will become clear as we see these stories. These stories are probably not to be treated literally. And you'll see what I mean as we go through these stories in the Gemara. Tanya Abba Shol Omer Kover Meisim Ayisiv Ayim Mistaka Bat Sama Shol Meisim. And now this first story maybe is meant to be taken literally. Again, I'll let you be more of a judge than me. He says that his job was Kover Meisim. He was a mortuary. Okay. Undertaker. He was an undertaker. Kover Meisim Ayisiv Ayisim Mistaka Bat Sama Shol Meisim. Now, so he's giving us empirical analysis, his observations of life, and in this case, of death. And he says, I can tell you this. Drinking too much wine over the course of a person's life, so his bones are burnt. Okay, his burnt bones. Yain chai, undiluted wine. Right, undiluted wine. So your bones get burnt. Okay, and obviously the reason why the Gemara brings in this price is because we just talked about, right, that answer of Abaye. Like, how much wine is mom supposed to drink for this baby to have dissolved into a liquid? So in other words, clearly there's some relationship, and I'm not speaking medically because I'm not medical, but there's some relationship between the too much drinking of wine and the effects, the physical effects on the body. Okay. Mazog atzamosav sichuyim. Now, if he drinks... If he drinks the wine which is over diluted, meaning it was too watered down, says Rashi, Yosir Midai, so his bones become sichuyim. Rashi gives a couple of explanations. Sichuyim, says Rashi, is black, shchorin, black bones, or lishna achrin. Rashi gives another pshat, it's bones without marrow, dry bones. Right? Remember that, the old comic strip? So, karoi, now, but if you drink wine which is raui, right? In other words, it's not overly diluted, it's not under-diluted. It's diluted to precise ratio of what they used to dilute with. So, atzmosav meshuchin, you're going to have very good bones, right? Meshuach literally means oily, meaning it'll be marrow, it'll be good. Okay, so the Gemara's advice, and again, I'm not the doctor here, is that correct, is that wine is good.
Like the French.
Now, in general, more medical advice, again, based on observation. If you drink more than you eat, you overdrink, so your bones are going to be serufim. If you eat more than you drink, so your bones are going to be sichuyin, right, dry. And karai, however, correct ratio of eat to drink, that's most of meshuchin, your bones are going to be healthy bones. Tanya, we learned in another brisa. And here I could say definitively, the Gemara now from this point forward is not to be taken literally. Abishol Amar Veitemer Rabbi Yochanan Kover Mesim Ayisi again. More about Abishol. He says, I was a Kover Mesim, I was an undertaker. Pamachas Rasi Achar Tzvi Nechnasi B'Kol Shomes. Now one time I ran after a deer and I chased him into the thigh bone of a human remains. Into the thigh bone. Verasi Achar Shosh Parsos. Now I ran three Parsos. Utzvi Lo Higati, but I never actually caught the Tzvi. The kulisol kalta, and I didn't get to the end of the thigh bone. So he's talking about running a distance of three parses. Each parse is approximately 4 mil. So 4 mil, 3 mil. Anyway, you're talking about running thousands of amos.
2-3 miles.
Okay? And I didn't get to the end of the thigh bone. Because shechazart al-achori, now when I retraced my steps and I walked out of the thigh bone, I'm released, shall Og Melech HaBashan Ayisi. This is the thigh bone that belonged to Og Melech HaBashan. Okay. Now, if you take a look at the Marashah on the back, the Marashah will do what you would expect him to do, not take the Gemara literally. The Gemara speaking in homiletics, the Gemara speaking allegorically, and the Marashah gives nice explanation of the Tzvi representing Tahara and Og Melech HaBashan representing Tumah and his pursuit of Tahara, even though he was embroiled in Tumah. And again, you take a look at the Marashah on the back end, right? He does not treat these Gemaras literally. Right, correct. It's a medrash, and right, not all medrashim are meant to be taken literally. In fact, as we've quoted a number of times, the Rambam says don't take every medrash literally, but do take every medrash seriously. Tanya Abishol Amar Kover Meisim Ayisi Pamachan Niftecha Meara Tachti Tachtai VaAmadati BeGilgal Inu Shomeis. Ad Chotmi. Another story told by Abishol. Again, first of all, introducing himself as an undertaker. And one time I went to a cave, and I was standing in the cavity, the eye cavity of a human remains. And I was in the nostril area. Kishechazart l'achori, Amru, and then I had to turn around and walked out. Amru, Ayin Shel Avshalom Hayisa. This was the eye of Avshalom. And again, to take it literally is a little bit strange, to be able to stand within the eye. We don't know Avshalom, the son of David HaMelech, to be this grossly, exaggeratedly large human being.
He just had a big eye.
Right, who just had this huge eye where you could stand within the eye. But once again, you talk about here when the Gemara talks about his eye, it talks about his desire, his eye, right, we talk about the ayin hara, meaning you're eyeing something else. You want something else. Avshalom wanted the malucha. He rebelled against his father. He took his father's concubines, meaning that's the eye that we're talking about vis-a-vis Avshalom. V'shem etamar Abishol nanas ava. Now the Gemara says, now don't think that Abishol was a short individual. Now, if we're going to continue explaining the Gemara homiletically, like the Marashah does, even this, when the Gemara talks now about height, is not to be taken literally. The Gemara here is not actually talking about the physical stature of Abishol. The Gemara is talking about his spiritual stature. Don't think that Abishol was a short man. Abishol aruch bedorahava. He was tall man of his generation. Rabbi Tarfon Magiela Ketefo. And now, this is enjoyable just from the Mesorah perspective, because now we're going to go one generation to the next generation. So we started with Abishol. Abishol was a Tana. And Rabbi Tarfon was the next generation. Magiela Ketefo, Rabbi Tarfon only arrived at the shoulders of Abishol. And again, you don't have to translate this literally, probably not to be taken literally. just simply means that there were Yiridas Hadoros. As the generations progressed, we go down a notch in spirituality through the generations. Rabbi Tarfon Aruch Bedor Hava, now Rabbi Tarfon was the tallest of his generation, which is rather amazing because Rabbi Tarfon was of the same generation as Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Lazar ben Yaakov and all the greats. So, and the Gemara here refers to Rabbi Tarfon as being tall man of his generation.
There was something special about him.
Clearly. So, and then Rabbi Meir Magilak Tefo, and the next generation's Rabbi Meir, who, awkwardly enough, was a Talmud of Rabbi Akiva. So the next generation you have Rabbi Meir, and Rabbi Meir was the Talmud of his generation. Right? I mentioned this a number of times. The Gemara mentions by Rabbi Meir, we never really fully understand Rabbi Meir. Meaning he's so much smarter than the other Tanaim of his other generation. He spoke and people didn't understand. Throughout Shas, his opinion is recorded, and I don't know the numbers, but just Libi Omerli, my heart tells me that most of the time it's just disregarded. His position is disregarded, but notably because he was too smart. He was talking above the heads of the others. Rabbi Meir Aruch Bador Hava Rabbi Magilak Tefo. The next generation is Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. We're now already at the end of the period of the Tanaim. Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi is a Mesader HaMishnayos. Okay, so it really puts Rabbi, in other words, in this Mesorah, in this link, it puts Rabbi three generations after Rabbi Akiva. Okay, I mean, right, we went from Rabbi Akiva, which is synonymous with Rabbi Tarfon, to Rabbi Meir, to Rabbi. I'm sorry, not three, really two. Rabbi Aruch Bedor Rava, and Rabbi was tall man of his generation, Rabbi Chia Magilak Tefo. And his student was Rabbi Chia, and Rabbi Chia only arrived at the shoulders of Rabbi. Now Rabbi Chia is Mesader HaBraisos, meaning he put together the Braisos, which are also, right, Tanaitic statements, but Barah, outside. Rabbi Hachia Aruch Bedor Hava, now Rabbi Chia was the tall man of his generation. V'Rav Magilak Tefo, and the next generation is Rav. Right, so Rabbi Chia is kind of like a bridge between the Tanaim and the Amoraim. Right, Rabbi we normally consider to be the last of the Tanaim. Rav we consider to be the first of the Amoraim. In fact, very often Rav is considered that bridge, Rav Tana Upalig. Rav can even argue with Tanaim. But here we have Rabbi Chia inserted somewhere in the middle, so Rabbi Chia is kind of like that bridge. Rav Aruch Bedor Hava Rav Yehuda Megillah Tefo, now when the next generation is Rav Yehuda. Right, we mentioned that already a number of times. Rav Yehuda learned by two Amoraim. He learned by Rav, and he learned by Shmuel. Okay, right. We have very often Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, and we have Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Right, he learned by both of the Amorai greats of his generation. Rav Yehuda Aruch Bedor Hava Ve'Ada Dalia Magilik Tefo. The Abba Dalia. Dalia says Rashi is that he was Shamish to Rabbanan. He was a rabbinic attendee. Okay? So, Adabarav? Okay. So he was the next generation. And Parshtavina de Pumpadisa, okay, I'm not familiar with who he is, but I don't have a recollection of where else we saw his name. Kai Leila Ada Daya Ad Palge. He only made it halfway up to Adadalia. And Vikuli Amakala Parsha Sivna de Pumbadisa Ad Kharse. And what about the rest of the general population? So they made it up to his midsection of this Parshtavina. Okay, and again, assuming that we're not talking about physical stature, so you really get a sense of Yiridas Hadoros. So, the greatest Amora after Rav Yehuda was this Parshtavina. I really don't have anything for you about him. And after that, Adadalia was half his quote-unquote height and stature. And after that, the rest of the population was just a fraction of that. Just to give us a sense of the Yiridas Hadoros. Correct. Correct. It's Yiridas Hadoros. Shalom, Ufnei Rabbi. Okay. We're going to go now back to the amniotic sac, and Gemara is going to have a lengthy discussion about other things that it's filled with. Meaning, look, if the amniotic sac has a baby inside of it, the mother is Tameya. Okay? Shvir Marukam. In other words, the formation of a baby. This daf, it's an interesting daf, will give us a picture. Try to put into words a picture of what the beginning formation of an embryo is. It will be fascinating. I mean, we live in a world where we actually have pictures of it. The Gemara did not have pictures of it, so the Gemara tried to put it into words. We're going to see that later this morning. In the meantime, however, the Gemara now is going to discuss where this amniotic sac is filled with other things. Meaning, we discussed in our Mishnah where it was filled with either water or blood or multicolored liquids. What if it's filled with basar? Okay, so it's filled with flesh. Nothing defined. Just filled with flesh. Amalem lo shamati, amalafana Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi, kachamar Abba, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi quotes his father. He's apt to do so. And he says, Maleidam tamei anida, male basar tamei leida. If it's filled with blood, she's anida. If it's filled with flesh, it's a birth. So they said to him, to Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi, it's good that you recorded your father, and your father is an extraordinarily respected man. Meaning his father obviously was Rabbi Yossi, and the Gemara says very often, when Rabbi Yossi speaks, people listen. So that would have been good, but Achsha midakamaisi ki yechida kamar, kesumchis kshamar mishum Rabbi Meir, hanami shema, Rabbi Yeshua Amra, Veina Lachik Rabbi Yeshua. But look, you also said that if it's filled with blood, she's anida. Now that's a Sumchus opinion. Do you remember earlier in the Perek? We quoted it in the name of Sumchus, that if it's filled with blood, but even though it doesn't actually make contact with her, she will be anida. That's Sumchus' opinion. The Gemara says, but we don't follow like Sumchus. And oh, by the way, it's Simchus who said in the name of Reb Meir. Okay? It just made my point that I made earlier. Reb Meir says things, we don't follow him, but we never fully understand Reb Meir. Anyway, well, we don't paskin like that. So the second statement that you made, that it's filled with unidentified tissue, unidentified meat, so could be that we don't follow you like that as well. Meaning, because that could be a das tachid, that could simply be just the opinion of Yeshua, the Tanya. And then Gemara quotes a Braisa Mapel Shpir Shena Marukam, Rav Yeshua Amar Vlad Vachacham Amar Remain of Vlad. A woman gives birth to Shpir Shena Marukam. So it's unidentified, meaning it's not, there's no features, but it's tissue. So Rabbi Yeshua says it is a Vlad, meaning definitive. And Vachachamim Romain of Vlad, the Chachamim say it's not a Vlad. Meaning it's not a definitive Vlad. It may be a Vlad, but it's not a definitive Vlad. I'm Rashi Malakish Mishum Rabbi Yoshi Machlokis Bachor. Now the Gemara quotes a Machlokis between Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yoshua Ben Levi. Reish Lakish says that this whole Machlokis is only going to be when it's Achor. When it's that which is in the amniotic sac is muddy. Meaning it's not a clear liquid. But if it's a clear liquid, it for sure is not going to be a vlad. If what's inside the amniotic sac is just a clear liquid. Rav Yehoshua ben Levi, and Rav Yehoshua ben Levi says, it is a machlokas. Even if it's clear. Now I said even. The Gemara wants to know, was I right? Does it mean that it's a machlokas when it's clear and it's a machlokas when it's muddy? Or is it a machlokas when it's clear, but when it's muddy, everyone would agree it's for sure a vlad? Now, oh, by the way, when we say clear and muddy, are we talking about when the amniotic sac is filled with liquid? Or are we talking about when the amniotic sac is filled with tissue? That is also a machlokas. There's a lot going on over here. Right? That's also a machlokas, the machlokas between Rashi and Tosos. Rashi says we're talking about where that which is filled inside is a liquid. And we're talking about a clear liquid versus a muddy liquid. Tosus disagrees.
So what does clear mean? If it's a liquid.
Right.
Clear solid.
Phil, take a look. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Take a look at the fifth Tosfos of Machlokus Betzalo. Perish Hakunshus Malamayim v'chein mashma v'chash v'chiyadiv me'malei adam da'amal el da'tmei anida v'lo le'idam. I feel like Rabbi Yeshua. Right? If we remember, we said in the Mishnah that was filled with blood, it's not a leida. And now it's filled with water. So lekach nir lefarsh tzalo v'achor hainu basar achor u'basar tzalo. So Tosfos does not explain, but there's something as dirty tissue versus clean tissue, clear tissue. You're right. It's difficult. Okay. Anyway, Teiku, the Gemara leaves a lot of these questions unresolved. Neisve. Ezu darsh Rav Yeshua ben Chananya. Now, here we have the Braisa that quotes Rav Yeshua ben Chananya. Vayasa Hashem Elokim la'adam lishto katnos or vayabishem. Now, Kipshut are the pasuk's talking about after they sinned. Kadosh Baruch Hu made for them katnos or. It's hard to translate into English. But Vayabishem, and he dressed them in it. The Gemara is assuming, however, that this pasuk is not referring to any additional clothing that was put onto Adam and Chava, but it's talking about the actual natural skin of Adam and Chava. So in other words, Adam and Chava were formed, and the conclusion of the formation of Adam and Chava is skin. Cut no sore. Now, that means that in the development of a human being, first you have some sort of formation of tissue, followed then by skin. MK notes there, Amma Ba'or Talia Milsa. So you see that human development needs a skin. And it doesn't matter if the tissue is clear tissue or if it's dirty tissue. So Iyamat Bishlama B'tzalam Achlokas Hanu Dietzur Kwa. Ela Iyamat Ba'achor Machlokas Lama Likra. Svar Ba'amahu. So the Gemara says, now it is interesting that here we're having a debate, because if the whole debate amongst the Tanaim is about Achor, meaning there's a svar behind it. There's a logic behind it. What's the logic? Meaning it's muddy, it's dirty. It could have been that this was a fetus that disintegrated. Period. The fact that we're quoting a pasuk over here indicates that this is not a debate based on svara, but rather it's a debate based on just simply psukim. Elish mamina, but salam achlokish mamina. So you see, the fact that we quote a pasuk tells us that the whole debate over here is regarding clear liquid.
We're not saying one's a child, one's not a child.
Okay, wait just 1 second. You'll see. We need a little more Gemara. V'chein amar av Nachman amar av bar avu amachlokes b'achor. Ava b'tzol divrei akol ein ovlad. So the Gemara goes through again the same discussion by quoting Rav Nachman bar Rava. And he says that the whole machlokes is by where the contents of the amniotic sac is muddy and dirty and you can't see through it. But if it's clear, everyone would say that's not a vlad. Ezve Revelan Rachman, Elam Rusiman Vlad Bebeim Adakatino Vigasa Shalya, Beisha Spear Vishalya. Right, what are indications that a person or an animal gave birth? So it depends. By small animals, it's just a simple blood discharge. By a larger animal, you need to see a placenta. And by a woman, it could be either an amniotic sac or a placenta. One of those two would be an indication that it is a baby that she gave birth to, and this is really in the Mishnah in Bechoros, and obviously we need to know, because if this was a baby, then that means the next baby that comes out of her, being viable, would not be the firstborn. It doesn't need pigeon, right? That was our discussion back in Bechoros. Now, remember, what are we discussing? We're discussing an amniotic sac that doesn't have anything in it. Now, notice how by an animal, if the animal just delivered an amniotic sac with no baby inside of it, so what does the Mishnah Bechor sound like? Sounds like that's not a baby. That's not considered a leida. Now, if we're talking about where the contents of the amniotic sac was clear, so then you kind of get it. Meaning, look, it's a clear sac. There's no baby there. Right? It's meaning from the observable eye, you would say, just from a rational standpoint, it's a clear sac, there's no baby inside, let's move on. It's nothing. And then you can really understand that Mishnah Bechoros, because by an animal, we have reason, we have rationale. By a human, we have a pasuk. Gzeres akasav. Does it make logical sense? No, but so what? Gzeres akasav. The Torah goes out of its way to say, a sack is considered a birth. But if we're talking about where the sack was filled, then you can't see through the sack. Now, I can't make out a formed baby, but could very well be that there was a baby inside that just dissolved, and the dissolved contents are the muddy appearance inside the sack. So, so then it wouldn't make a difference, meaning if what was delivered was a sack which was filled with something that's cloudy, so then I would consider that to be a birth both by a human and by an animal as well. So the Gemara says, Mitzvah is Rabbi Yoshua Mishah Pashile, Rabbi Yoshua Sefukim Estafkele. So the Gemara says, no, you really misunderstood. Rabbi Yoshua is not making any type of definitive statement. In fact, that's exactly the point. He doesn't know. So Vaza Achla Chumra Vachla Chumra. And because he doesn't know, so therefore he just treats it like a big suffix. Now, Gabi Isha de Mamona Hu Suffik Mamona Lakula. Now, by a woman, it's a mamonous issue, meaning you're firstborn. What does it result in? It results in having to pay the kohen. Okay, we don't know, meaning the first thing that came out of her, unfortunately, was an amniotic sac. It was filled with something that was cloudy. Could be a baby, we don't know. So what all Rabbi Yeshua is saying is the next thing that comes out of her, we're not going to treat like a bechor. The father of that baby doesn't have to give the kohen 5 saline.
And that's a mitzvah deraisa.
But it's a mitzvah, but it's a mamonos mitzvah. So it could be mako.
Right,
Gabi behema di isuruhu. But when it comes to an animal, now firstborn animal, that's it. That's an isur issue. The right bechor is also begizav avoda, and that's not a mamonos issue. That's isur v'heter. So deikal gabi begizav avoda safik isur lechomer. So therefore, we're going to be machmir. Hachanami gabi isha safik tumah lechomer. And by a woman, it's a safik on tumah. So therefore, we would be machmir. Meaning, on the issue of the question, did mom give birth vis-a-vis, are we going to call this now Tumas Leida? So Rav Yosha would say, yeah. Not because I know for sure that the sack was filled with a baby, but it could be. Now the Gemara says, okay, but didn't he quote a pasuk above? So the Gemara says, Midrabbanav Karas Machlam Almahu. No, really the truth of the matter is that it's, so this is all a din Dindarabbanan, and the pasuk was just simply an Asmachta, meaning the pasuk was not there to literally give us the halacha of that in order for the baby to be a baby, it needs connoisseur. It needs skin. That's just a smachta ba'alma. Okay.
Oh, that.
Now, are we...
Hold on. The fact that you need skin...
Is an indication that in order for a baby to consider a baby, it needs not only to be formed, but it needs to be formed with skin over the top.
And that's a suffix.
Correct.
But if that was not an smachta, then it wouldn't be a suffix.
Correct. Correct.
Okay,
correct. Now, are we all thoroughly confused? We should be. Meaning, because now I ask you the question, after a half an hour of starting the sugya, your woman gives birth to an amniotic sac. So now, it seems to be that it depends whether it's clear or whether it's discolored. It seems to be that that's a machlokis between the Amoraim Reish Lakish versus Rav Yishuv ben Levi. First of all, before that, it's a machlokis Tanaim. It's a further machlokis Rishonim. Amoraim. Between Reish Lakish and Rav Yishuv ben Levi. And then to further complicate, so from Machlokas Rishonim, Rashi and Tosfos, whether we're talking about liquid or whether we're talking about tissue. So we are thoroughly confused, and the Gemara here at this point acknowledges we're thoroughly confused. Amalei Rav Chanina Bar Shammai LaRav. HaRebbe, there's the opinion of Rebbe. HaRebbe Yishmael B'Rav Yossi, there's the opinion of Rebbe Yishmael B'Rav Yossi, who quoted his father. HaRebbe Oshia, HaRebbe Yoshua Ben Levi. Okay, there's a lot of opinions out there. Mar Kaman Svirle. So my only question to you, this is Rabbi Chanina asking Rav. It's a very simple one. Who do we follow now? So Amarle Ushmul Amar. Okay, so Rav says to clarify. Okay, so I'm gonna be very clear now. machlokas. Okay, I'm clarifying that's a machlokas. Now Rav says, now look, my position is I'm always mako. The mom gives birth and an amniotic sac comes out of her and there's no formed baby inside, I tend to be mako. But at the same time, I'm also telling you, Shmuel tends to be machmir. And Shmuel goes the other way. He's always machmir. V'az v'shmuel atameh. D'chiyas rav dimi amah me'olam lo dachu shpir b'Narda. Look, in the town of Narda, which was the town of Shmuel. Shmuel was the Rosh Hashiva of Narda. And when Shmuel died, so did Narda as a town. Right? There was no... The yeshiva of Narda did not continue after the death of Shmuel.
They moved to
Pumbedisa. Yeah. Surah Pumbedisa, Surah always existed. That was Rav's yeshiva. The town of Surah, the yeshiva of Surah always continued, and Pumbedisa basically took on its own new center of Jewish learning. Anyway, the Chishapir ben Arda. So whenever there was an amniotic sac that was delivered in Narda, and there was no foreign fetus inside, and the matter was brought in front of Shmuel always said, almost always said, it's possible that it was a baby. We're going to call this a leida. Okay? Lavar me'ahu shpir da'asakam d'shmul d'manach ha'le'achut ha'sa'ara.
He was a doctor.
Ha'achut ha'sa'ara me'ha'gisa v'chazi me'ha'gisa ami misa d'vlad ha'velo ha'vezikul ha'hai. It was only one occasion where a sack was born in the town of Narda, and Shmuel said, Mom is not Tumas Leida. And that's where the sack was so clear that they took a hair, moved it to the other side of the sack. He actually looked through the amniotic sac, and it was so clear, he was able to see the hair all the way on the other side. That's how clear the sac was.
See the hair, right?
To be able to see the hair. And that was the only occasion recorded where Shmuel said that the mom is not a Tumas Leida. All other times, he ruled that mom was Tumas Leida. Okay. We move on in the Gemara of Imayamarukam, and now the Gemara is going to discuss where we're going to see a formed fetus inside. Okay, now, the Gemara feels this way, and we know this to be so based on the pictures that we have of life inside of the mother's womb. Essentially, for the first 40 days, it is really not discernible. The Gemara calls it Maya Ba'alma. In other words, it's just a liquid for the first 40 days, right, from the point of conception. And then, approximately 40 days into conception, so already you start to see the formation of a baby. Okay, you go to any biology textbook and you can see all the pictures inside. It looks like a lizard. Okay, but obviously it's beautiful. It's a curled up lizard. It's the beginning of life. And so, and now, obviously in halacha, we got to draw the line somewhere. And the place we draw the line is day 41 post-conception. Meaning on the 41st day post-conception, now it is considered a life. Now in terms of the question of abortion, I will not touch that question. You speak to, in other words, there's much discussion about it, and I'm not the place to go, and it's the Daf Yomi, and this is not the time to do so. Right? But obviously, though, you can make a distinction between the first 40 days and after the first 40 days. But again, you speak to people who are much greater than me about that. But in the meantime, however, we could just speak in terms of mother being Tumas Leida, and that's what we will speak to because that's what the Gemara is interested in. So we are now basically looking at the point of the baby, the fetus, first formation, and the Gemara will try to describe to us how we can tell a formed fetus at this very, very early stages. So we are talking now within the first trimester of development, right? Basically, 40 days is how many weeks? Six. Basically, just about 6 weeks into development, right? The whole gestation period is a 40-week period, so we're talking 6 weeks into it. Tanu Rabbanan. The first thing that forms it is its head. Okay, it's amazing. I mean, this is a Gemara speaking, and again, you can take a look at pictures. You'll see the first thing that's formed is its head. You're going to see two dots, like two bug eyes, basically. And the Gemara may means literally the size of a bug eye. And Rabbi Chiya said that they are not directly next to one another, but there's separation between them because they are the beginning of the formation of eyes. You will see two holes as nostrils, the beginning of nostrils for the baby. And the Gemara quotes the Braisa, they are close to one another. There's a line where the mouth is about to be formed. And it does already at this point demonstrate a male organ. The Gemara says, "Ke'adasha, the size of a lentil." Hard to imagine it's that large at that early stage of development. The Imhaisa, maybe it's talking more about the shape than the actual size. The Imhaisa Nekeva, Nidona Kisa'or La'arka. Now, if it's a woman, so again, at this very early stage of development, it will have just the crevice of the original formation of its genitalia. Don't bother looking for fingers or toes. You will not find fingers or toes at this early stage of development. The Allah Mefurish beKabbalah, and the Gemara here quotes a pasuk from Iyov describing now this very early stage of development. Halo kechalav titicheni, it was poured like milk, meaning it was a liquid. The formation, the early formation of a human is kind of like liquid, like a milk. Ukegvina takpieni, curdled like cheese. Basically, liquid now is starting to turn into a solid. Or ubasta tabisheni, I was then dressed in skin and flesh. Vaatzmas vegidim tesuchecheni, further fashioned with bones and with sinews. Chaim vechesar asisi imadi. Uvkurasecha shamra ruchi. Adkan divrei iov. Vein bokenos abemayim. Now, in this very, very early stage of development, so now, God forbid, she aborts this sac that now may or may not have the beginning of a developed fetus inside. And you want to see, so you want to wash it in order to see whether or not there was a fetus. Don't wash it in water, says the Gemara, because water is very astringent. Vitordino so, and it may just simply wash away the fetus. Elabot kenoso b'shemen. But rather, says the Gemara, when you do an examination to see whether there was a fetus there, use oil. Shashemen rach. It's soft, and it'll really tease out the fetus, the underdeveloped fetus inside. And when you take a look at it, you got to look at natural sunlight. Meaning, if you look at artificial light, you may miss this fetus. So Ketza Bokenoso, the Gemara quotes the Brice of Ketza Bokenoso, but the Gemara asks, "What do you mean? We just got done explaining." Now, we're going to basically look to see whether it's a boy or whether it's a girl, because you want to know, what should mom do? Should mom treat it like Leidas Zachar, Leidas Nekeva, 733 verses 1466? Abashal Barnash Ramila, Abashal Bar Ramash Omer, maybe, Kisem Shirosho Chalak, Omenanea Baosomakam. So you take some sort of toothpick, tweezer, some very sharp and small instrument, you rub it in the area where the genitalia is developing. Im misachsech biyadush zachahu. If it gets caught, so you know that it's a male, the imla biyadush nekeva. But if it's smooth, it's a female. I'm Rav Nachum, I'm Rav Abaravu, lo shana alamalamata lamala. That's only rubbing it up and down in a up down motion. But if you rub it from side to side, in a horizontal, it could very well have been a female genitalia, and it would have gotten caught on the female genitalia. So to do this test, you have to go in an up-down motion. If it's a female, you will see a line where the female genitalia is first developing. The Gemara says, could it not be the beginning of the fashioning of the beitzim of a male genitalia? I'm Rabbi. Hashta beitzim gufay lo yad chutz shel beitzim yadua. The Gemara says improbable. No, it would not be. It would be at this early stage of development only the female genitalia. I'm Rav Amram. Tana beis yarkos of kibes chutim shel zaharis. Its legs at this very early stage is kind of like two threads. The Amrav Amram Allah kishel erev. Two thick threads, the Erev, right? In a loom, there's the chassis, there's the Erev. There's the vertical threads, which are thinner, and there's the horizontal threads, which are thicker. So the thighs of this very early developmental stage are thick, like Erev. Ushnei Zorasav Kebeis Chutin Shel Zaharis, and the arms are also very thin, like threads. Vamar of Amran Allah Kishal Shesi, they are going to be like the Shesi. Amrali Shmuel Rav Yehuda, Shinan Olasavid Uvda Ad Sheyasir. Now, Shmuel says to his student Rav Yehuda, okay, Shmuel was the doctor, was the one who told us at the beginning of today's daf that if it was, unless it was super clear, this amniotic sac, he would always treat it like a baby. And he says to his student Rav Yehuda, don't say anything definitive until you see hair on the fetus. Okay. Now, Umi Amar Shmuel Hachi V'Amar Shmuel Achazu V'Achazu Choshashes. Now, the Gemara says, now, isn't that strange? Isn't that strange? Because Shmuel basically was always concerned. Amar V'Amar Bar Shmuel L'Didim Efrash L'Minei D'Mar Shmuel L'Achush Choshashes. Yimei Tahara Lo Yavin Lei Ad Sheyasir. So the Gemara gives much more clarity. Look, says the Gemara, in terms of being worried that it may be a baby, Shmuel always worried. Meaning, if a sack came out of this woman, unless it was not literally crystal clear, where he was able to see through the sack, so Shmuel always rendered it to be a baby. But not definitively, possibly. So in other words, my master B sitting on Tumas Leda. Does she enjoy the Yemei Tahara? Absolutely not. Shmuel says, I only will give her Yemei Tahara only if this fetus has hair. The fetus is so developed you can actually see the hair on the fetus. The Gemara, we're going to finish up today's Gemara with an unbelievable story. But this Gemara means the story literally, I believe. And the Gemara tells us the following. Where there was a sack that was brought in front of Shmuel. Shmuel did an examination of the sack. And Shmuel's conclusion was, and this was his medical conclusion, that this was a fetus inside the sack, and it was a 41-day-old fetus. Follow the story, it's an amazing story. Now, we did a little bit of history, and a little more examination, and they figured that this woman went to the mikvah 40 days ago. Okay, now, we are obviously encountering a problem. Because Shmuel's medical opinion was that the fetus inside is 41 days old. She only went to the mikvah 40 days ago. Right? Houston, we have a problem. Right? So in other words, based on his medical advice, his medical knowledge, he figured that she was impregnated one day before she went to the mikvah. And Ve'amar Lehu Hai Benita Ba'al. He actually said, with no equivocation, he said, Mom and Dad must have had relations while she was still in Nida. Kafte v'ode. They tied him up, Dad. They beat it out of him. And he admitted this to be so. Okay, now.
I would have admitted it too.
Yeah. Now, we're just going to end on the following, which is Shmuel issued rulings about it may be a child. So the Gemara says, what do you mean maybe a child? Shmuel knew these things definitively. So why is he always issue a ruling of it may be? He was so sure he was able to tell a 1-day discrepancy in development between 40 and 41 days. Okay? So, but the Gemara answers very simply, Shani Shmuel derav guvrai. Shmuel was an expert in this field. Shmuel was able to tell the difference between a 40-day developed fetus and a 41-day developed fetus. He had that ability. In terms of issuing a ruling for the masses, it was any amniotic sac that was not clear. So he says, you have to be concerned. It could be that there was a developmental fetus inside. But no one else could paskin the way that Shmuel could paskin. No one else had the precision that Shmuel had. Okay, where do we end off today? The whole this whole morning we were dedicated to the discussion of a woman giving birth to a sack. our Mishnah tells us that if it's filled with water, blood, or multicolors, it is not going to be considered a baby unless you saw an actual developed fetus inside. The Gemara quotes in the name of Shmuel, and this seems to be the accepted halacha, that if the amniotic sac is not clear, if it's cloudy or muddy inside, so then you have to be concerned that maybe it's a baby inside. Shmuel's own analysis, he could do better than that, but for the rest of us, however, we are concerned with the fact that it's a baby, and the Gemara then today took us through the early stages of the development of a fetus. Stop over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up. Rabbi Chananya ben Akasha Amar Ratzak Hashem Baruch Hu Zakri Tzor Afiach Achir Ben Torah Mitzvah Shanema Anai Chafetz Amantiko Yagdil Torah.